Dolly's Mother, read by Stella McCusker.
It was all the harder because her mother had been so beautiful. If only Dolly's mother had been a round bun-like woman, or a small wrinkled person, it might have been easier for Dolly, this business of growing up. But no, there were no consolations on that score. Mother was tall and willowy, and had a smile that made other people smile too, and a laugh that caused strangers to look up with pleasure. Mother always knew what to say, and said it. Mother wore long lilac silk scarves so elegantly they seemed to flow with her when she walked. If Dolly tried to wear a scarf, it either looked like a bandage, or else she got mistaken for a football fan. If you were square and solid and without colour or grace, it was sometimes easy to hate Mother. But only for a moment, and not real hate. Nobody could hate Mother. And certainly not the dumpy daughter that Mother treated like a princess. All the girls at school loved Dolly's mother. She was so friendly, they said, so interested in them. She remembered all their names. Dolly's friends. Were they really friends, she often wondered? Or did they just like her because of Mother? If it hadn't been for Mother, she might have sunk without trace in that school. She should be very grateful that, unlike almost everyone else around her, she had a parent who was universally approved and liked. She should be grateful, and she usually was. Mother always baked a funny cake for the sale of work. Not a big showy one that would embarrass you, or a little mean one that would make you feel ashamed, but like the one covered in Smarties, or the one with nasturtium flowers on it and a cutting from a newspaper saying that they were safe to eat. Mother had lent marvellous things for the school play and hadn't complained when they got torn. Mother had asked Miss Power for the knitting pattern of her cardigan and then had actually gone and knit the thing, telling Miss Power that she had chosen a different colour in case they looked like identical twins. Poor Miss Power, plain as a pikestaff and not willowy and lovely like Mother, had pinked with pleasure and had become nearer to human than any of them had ever seen her. For Dolly's 16th birthday, Mother was making a marvellous production. And every step of the way she consulted her daughter. "Now, you must tell me what you like and what the other girls do. There's nothing so silly as a mother getting it all wrong and taking you to the pictures and McDonald's when that's far too young for you." "You never get it wrong, Mother," Dolly said in a dead sort of voice. "But of course I would, darling doll. I'm 100 years older than you and all your friends. I have ideas from the last century. That's why I'm relying on you to say what you want."
"You aren't 100 years older than us." Dolly's tone was level. "You were 23 when I was born, and you're not 40 yet."
"Oh, but soon will be."
Mother sighed and looked at her perfect face in the mirror. "Soon a wizened, stooped, eccentric old 40-year-old. She pealed with laughter, and Dolly laughed too. The notion was so ridiculous.
"What did you do when you were 16?
"Well, it was the Dark Ages," Mother admitted ruefully. "Nowadays things are much more advanced. I suppose you'll all want to go to a disco. What did the others do? Jenny's 16 and Mary must be 16. Judy?"
Mother looked at her brightly, listing the names of Dolly's friends, bright, alert and interested, caring that her daughter should not be left out of whatever was the scene.
"I think Jenny just went out to the pictures," Dolly said. "Of course she had Nick."
"That's right," Dolly's mother nodded sagely. She was the confidant of all the girls.
"I don't know what Judy did."
Dolly was mulish.
"But you must, darling. She's your friend."
"I still don't know."
Mother's face softened visibly.
Dolly could see a change of approach.
Mother would have every reason to play the martyr, to feel that her daughter was monstrously ungrateful. "Why are you so nice to me, Mother?" Dolly asked seriously. She really and truly wanted to know. Mother's face showed hardly any surprise at the question.
She answered it as cheerfully and with the same kind of smile that greeted almost everything. "I'm not being nice, darling. I'm being ordinary." Dolly thought for a moment. Every single one of the girls who had been to the house had praised Mother. They had all said she was like a marvellous big sister. You could tell her anything. She always understood. "Mother, don't bother, honestly. It won't be a happy day. There aren't any happy days, honestly. Days just aren't happy like they were for you. Like they are for you. I'm not complaining, it's just the way it is." She willed her eyes not to fill with tears. She prayed for some understanding to come in her mother's face. She looked down at Mother's long, thin white fingers with their perfect long shell-pink nails. She saw Mother's rings, not very huge in themselves, but making Mother's little hand seem still frailer by having to bear them. The hand stroked Dolly's square hands, with their bitten nails, with their ink stain, and the scratches from the blackberry bush. Dolly knew that the fault was hers. Mother was so good, it was Dolly who was rotten. Rotten and ungiving to the core. Right to the base of her hard, square, unattractive heart. Father often looked melancholy, Dolly thought. A little stooped and tired, as he walked up the hill from the railway station carrying his briefcase. But as soon as he saw Mother, he cheered up. She might wave to him from an upstairs window, and then run lightly down the stairs to embrace him when he came to the door. She didn't peck at him. She threw both her arms around him and encircled him, briefcase, overcoat, evening paper and all. And so, as Dolly knew would happen, the subject of the 16th birthday was raised as an excitement, not a problem. Mother's eyes shone with the excitement of it. A girl turning 16, it was a symbol, a landmark, a milestone. It had to be marked. What would they do to make the day marvellous for Dolly? Dolly saw Father's face become tender. "I don't mind if we can't afford it," Dolly began. "Of course we can afford it. What else do we work for, your mother and I, except to be able to afford the odd treat like this?" Again Dolly found herself guiltily wondering, could this possibly be true? Did Father go out that long journey to the faceless office and come back tired every evening so that he could afford birthday parties? "What about a lunch?" Mother said suddenly. "A Saturday lunch at the Grand Hotel. You could all dress up and you could have one bottle of wine between all of you, if you have lots and lots of mineral water. You could order from the menu. Choose what you like. How about that?" It had definite possibilities. It was so utterly different. "Would you come with us?" Dolly asked. "Nonsense, darling. Your friends wouldn't want an old fogey like me. Please, Mother," Dolly begged. Mother said that since she would be working on Saturday, well, she could wear a silly hat and just drop in and join them for a drink, or whatever. Dolly's friends thought it was a great idea. "How is it that your mother is so fabulous?" Jenny asked with interest. "Meaning I'm not," Dolly said. "Oh, don't be so boring, Dolly," Jenny and Mary said together. They walked away from her, and Dolly sat in the classroom wishing the world would end. Suddenly and in a big splash of sunset. Mother had arranged a hairdo and a manicure for the Saturday morning of the birthday lunch. Dolly hadn't wanted it, any more than she had wanted the voucher for the new outfit. "It will be a disappointment, Mother," she had said. "Everything is." Had Mother's eyes grown a little steely, or did she imagine it? "Shall I choose something for you to wear, then?" Mother had said. And, of course, she had found a lovely green, exactly the colour of Dolly's eyes, she had said, and it did fit, and the other girls loved it. They were being polite to her today, of course. The hotel manager had welcomed them warmly. The booking had been made in Dolly's name. "And your lovely mother will be joining you later," he had said. "Yes, she's working, you see," Dolly explained. "Working?" "In the flower shop," Dolly explained. For some reason he found this amusing. He smiled, and then he quickly reassured her. "Of course she is. Wonderful woman, your mother. We see her from time to time here. Not often enough." When Mother came in, it did appear as if everyone was admiring her. She seemed so excited by the group of girls that she was joining. You would have thought it was the most glittering gathering in the land. Not for ill at ease teenagers, lost in a world of too much splendour. Suddenly, the lunch looked up. A very, very little wine was allowed to toast the newly 16-year-old. The girls felt grown up, and they felt as if they belonged. Dolly saw them looking around more confidently now. The day would be one they would all remember. Would she remember it? She wondered to herself. Would she be able to recall it years and years later, like Mother had about records and television programs and coffee bars? Mother had said that they should all take a little stroll downtown after lunch, see the street musicians and dancers by the fountain. She had a few things to do later. She'd leave them to their own devices. Feeling adult and in charge of their own destinies, the girls got their coats from the powder room. Dolly had no coat. Her soft green jacket and skirt was complete in itself. She waited while the others had gone to titivate still further, and idly pushed open the door to the manager's office, where Mother had gone to pay the bill personally. She wanted to thank Mother, and thank her with warmth, and say that it had been great, and that she did like the green outfit. Mother and the manager were standing very close. He, one arm around Mother, and with the other hand he was stroking Mother's face. She was smiling at him very warmly. Dolly managed to get back, but the door still stood open. She sat down on one of the brocaded sofas in the hall. In seconds they must have noticed the open door and came out. Mother looked flushed, so did the hotel manager. Their fear of discovery took on a new horror when they saw the girl sitting solidly on the sofa. At the same time, the chattering schoolmates arrived, and so it was goodbyes and thank yous and off with Mother downtown for the action. Jenny, Judy and Mary went ahead. Dolly walked thoughtfully with her mother. "Why am I called Dolly?" she asked. "Well, in order to please your father, we called you Dorothy after his mother. But I never liked the name, and you were like a little doll." She had answered as she would every question, simply and without guile. "Do you do everything to please other people, to make them happy?" Her mother looked at her for a moment. "Yes, I think I do. I learned that early on. It makes the journey through life much simpler if you please other people. But it's not being honest to how you feel, is it?" "Not always, no." Dolly knew if she asked her about the hotel manager, she would get an answer. But what would she ask? "Do you love him? Are you going to leave Father and live with him? Do other men take you in their arms? Is that what you are going back to? What you meant when you said a few things to do?" And suddenly Dolly knew she would ask no questions. No questions at all. She knew that she would have to think about whether her mother's way was in fact the right way. Life was short. Why not smile? Why not please people? People like her old mother-in-law, Dorothy, now long dead. Like Miss Power at school by knitting a cardigan. Like Father by running to the gate to meet him. Like her lumpen, surly daughter by giving her a birthday party. And as she linked Mother's arm to walk towards the fountain, Dolly knew with a shock that she would never forget her 16th birthday. It would always be there, frozen forever, as the day she grew up. The day she realized that there were many ways to go, and Mother's was only one way. Not necessarily the right way, and not all the wrong way. Just one of the many ways ahead.